Jonga Kandemiri, and good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, August 18th, 2016. As always, we would like to thank you for joining us this evening live from Washington. I'm Dimiake Mwakalielie. Here are our top stories this evening. Members of Tajamuka stage peaceful demonstrations at UNICEF's offices in Harare.
As I speak, Lil Damsalira is in illegal political detention at the Tshukurumbi maximum prison, and the UNICEF has never said anything about that. As I speak, Itai Dzamara is nowhere to be found, but UNICEF has never said anything about that.
Police disperse vendors at a Harare police station protesting against alleged state security brutality.
The police are actually showing the highest level of disrespect to the President of the Republic of Zimbabwe.
And Pastor Evans Mawarire of hashtag This Flag says he started his movement to push for the realization of Zimbabwe's liberation goals.
My grandfather went to war against colonialism, and so did my father as a young man. And those two men did not see what they fought for. They gave birth to me, and I haven't seen what they fought for.
These stories and so much more coming up. Stay tuned. Tajamuka Sesijikele campaign today held a meeting with UNICEF officials in Harare following claims by the United Nations agency that it is illegal to use children in political protests. The family of abducted political activist Itai Dzamara recently featured children at an African Unity Square who handed flowers and cakes to the police. This happened during a public demonstration to mark 17 months of the disappearance of Dzamara, who started Occupy Africa Unity Square, which wants President Robert Mugabe to step down for allegedly failing to properly run the country. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa reports from the capital.
Several members of the organization danced and sang outside UNICEF offices in Harare, denouncing the organization for attacking the Dzamara family for using children at Africa Unity Square last week. UNICEF warned the family and activists, saying, "Children are protected by various international and local statutes from participating in public protests." It quoted Article 15 of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which relates to freedom of association. Article 15 stipulates in part that children have the right to meet together and to join groups and organizations. This section is silent on the participation of children in public protests. However, some provisions of Section 81 of the Zimbabwe Constitution state that every child has the right not to be recruited into militia force or take part in armed conflict or hostilities. It further states that every child has the right not to be compelled to take part in any political activity. But Tajamuka Sesijikele campaign stressed during their protest today that UNICEF should have expressed these sentiments every time President Robert Mugabe used children in his rallies. Speaking outside UNICEF offices, Tajamuka Sesijikele spokesperson Promise Mkwananzi accused the UN agents of seeking to pacify the sitting government at the expense of the children it claimed to be representing.
As I speak, Lil Damsalira is in illegal political detention at the Tshukurumbi maximum prison, and the UNICEF has never said anything about that. As I speak, Itai Dzamara is nowhere to be found, but UNICEF has never said anything about that. We don't expect the international community to behave in that way. And we don't expect employees of UNICEF to use their positions within the organization to push political agendas, to push partisan agendas.
Silvanos Mujova, a member of the political campaign group, told Studio 7 that they want a retraction of the UNICEF statement.
We expected them to retract the statement, first of all, and then after that retraction, they issue an apology to Itai Dzamara's family directly to say those kids were demanding the return of their father, not that they were being political. No.
Fortune Nyoni, another activist, concurred, adding that Itai Dzamara's children were at the demonstration seeking answers from the ZANU-PF government on the whereabouts of their father. Mokwananze and three other members of Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign met with UNICEF representatives. Mokwananze claimed that UNICEF has agreed to have a relook at the statement and address the concerns of the campaign group.
She agreed that within a week, she's going to consult within the United Nations and make a review on the statement which they made and make a public statement clarifying the position of UNICEF.
UNICEF Chief of Communications Victor Chinyama confirmed that they held a meeting with the Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign but declined to disclose what was discussed. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Modadigwa.
Now for perspective on the role of the use of children in public protests, we have an in-studio guest with us, Tariro Tandi, a human rights lawyer and a 2016 Mandela Washington alumni. Welcome to the show, Ms. Tandi.
Thank you for having me, Ndimi.
So you just heard the report, and obviously that is right up your alley in terms of the use of children and, of course, human rights issues. What do you make of the UNICEF claims that the children here were unlawfully used?
Being honest, I think even as lawyers amongst ourselves, we're not in agreement. And one of the things is that what is it that you define as exposing children to a political, you know, rally where they can possibly be hurt, and also just being there and participating in a process where they want to know where their father is, and they have to understand. Imagine when you remove the children from understanding where their father is, because when they participate in those processes, then they can have an understanding of what really happened to their father. But if they're at home, they will never understand, which is something that I think most of us, even as lawyers, are battling with, that there is need for a balance. Even as UNICEF is bringing out a statement talking about the presence of children in these participating in these processes, there's also the other bit that also says why was UNICEF silent when it realized Linda was incarcerated and has five children who right now do not have anyone who is taking care of them. We also have Itai Zamara who disappeared, and he has children who right now do not have anyone who is taking care of them. So I think most of us are battling with that balance, and it becomes problematic because some of us feel that there was nothing wrong, because when you look at the things that are problematic is probably having the children themselves participate. If people are throwing stones, if people are chanting slogans and so forth. But in this instance, these children just handed out flowers and cakes.
But now what about the possibility that, and I want to believe that UNICEF, of course, UNICEF is the body that protects children. And obviously there's some concern that they have here. And of course, I guess there's a need to separate between emotions and legality.
Exactly.
So is there any, I mean, what do you read into what the real issue is here? And of course, they also make reference to the fact that, well, President Mugabe has been allowed to use children at rallies. So what do you think UNICEF is trying to say, really?
I think, understandably so, Ndimi, as an organization, as an institution that protects children's rights, when it came to their attention, depending on how it also got to them, their interest is probably to protect those children and ensure that they are safe, which, like I said in the beginning, needs to be balanced with this aspect of these children also having the right for them to know and participate in processes where they can have a clearer understanding of what happened to their parents or the processes that the nation or the country is engaging in a bid to ensure that either their father or their mother returns. So I think it's a bit, you know, it's problematic, and we'll always have divergent views. Even as lawyers, we can never have the same perspective to this issue. But I think, you know, what we're also calling for is that balance to say, you know, in as much as, yes, we need to protect our children, ensure that they are safe in these spaces, what is it that we are also doing as a nation, as a country, in terms of ensuring that these children are actually having someone providing for them and also not being deprived of their mother and their father's care.
So what do you think Zimbabwe and UNICEF will do to try to resolve this particular issue?
I think now it's a bit problematic because also I think if you really look at Ndimi, there is a lot of politics in play. And since they've issued a statement and there are all these rallies, they're actually, I think, the reason why even the communications person did not want to disclose the details of the meeting is because it's very political. As an institution, if they are to withdraw their statement, what is it that it will mean?
Right.
It will probably mean that they are in they are together or in partnership or in agreement with what Tajamuka is doing.
Okay.
And so that will also put them in a very awkward situation with the government.
So it's politics.
It's very political.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and thank you for your insights on that. That was Tariro Tandi, a human rights lawyer and 2016 Mandela Washington alumni, speaking with us here in our studios and heading off back to Zimbabwe soon. Have a safe trip.
Thank you, Ndimi.
Police in Zimbabwe today severely beat up prominent activist Sten Zorwadzwa, who led some street traders in staging a protest at the Harare Central Police Station to express their dismay over alleged police brutality. Thomas Chiripasi was there and filed this report.
Zorwadza, who is the board chairperson of the National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe, or NAVUZ, arrived at the Harare Central Police Station together with another activist, Patson Zamara, while holding flowers that they attempted to distribute to police officers who had already mounted a barricade. Some police officers approached Zorwadza, who tried to explain that their demonstration was going to be peaceful, but in no time, some baton-wielding officers came out of the station in full speed and assaulted Zorwadza. Hilda had earlier told reporters that their demonstration was meant to send a message to the police that they were supposed to protect citizens and not to victimize them when they are demonstrating against problems they are facing.
For the first time in the history of Zimbabwe, we have decided to take head-on Mapurisa right by their doorstep, right by their gate. Our campaign is a campaign to promote peace in Zimbabwe, to promote peace in a militarized state.
He said police were violating the constitution whenever they violently dispersed peaceful protesters.
The police are actually showing the highest level of disrespect to the president of the Republic of Zimbabwe.
Zamara weighed in, saying police were violating citizens' right to freedoms of assembly and expression.
We do not want war in this nation. Of course, we know whatever they are doing, whatever they've done, they've been trying to push us to a point where we say we are in a war situation. But we do not want that. We want peace, we want love, we want a Zimbabwe where we are able to express ourselves and still live peacefully after expressing ourselves.
After assaulting Zorwadza, the cops went on to beat up people who were at the charge office bus terminus, and in the process, an elderly woman was injured on her head while another unidentified woman was arrested. It could not be established how many people were part of the planned protest, as most activists were among people who were boarding commuter omnibuses at the terminus. Police spokesperson, Senior Assistant Commissioner Charity Charamba, told Studio 7 that she was unable to comment on what happened at Harare Central Station, claiming that she was yet to be briefed about the incident. President Mugabe told the nation recently his government would not allow any form of protest. This, despite constitutional provisions allowing peaceful demonstrations. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
At the same time, members of Women of Zimbabwe Arise, or WOZA, staged a peaceful march in Bulawayo, demanding that government scrap levies in public schools with effect from next term, which starts in the first week of next month. Our correspondent Taura Eshaba has more.
WOZA Director Jane Williams told Studio 7 that her organization has since 2006 been campaigning for free primary education and wants government to scrap levies charged in public schools, removing the burden from hard-pressed Zimbabweans. Williams castigated government for having misplaced priorities and said the state must ensure that 20% of the national budget goes towards education, as outlined in the Dakar Declaration of 2000, which Zimbabwe has ratified.
Government must take back from parents the responsibility of paying and educating children. We have cried, we have marched, we have sat in, we have died in. They continue to ignore us. They passed it in the new constitution. We gave them time. They continued to ignore and put more money to bats and sticks.
The demonstrators sang and marched through the central business district to Mhlahlandla government complex, where they wanted to deliver a petition to resident minister Eunice Sandimoyo, but were stopped from doing so by police, who blocked the entrance to the offices. Reverend Useni Swanda of the Zimbabwe Institute for Social Transformation, who also joined the march, said he supports Woza's calls and reiterated that it is government's responsibility to ensure that citizens get quality education by training and paying teachers well.
We need this government to supply quality education to the people of Zimbabwe. As citizens, we are saying the constitution gives us a right to quality education for everyone. So we're demanding that from government.
Zimbabwe's education system, once the envy of the world, is crumbled amid the ongoing economic crisis, compelling parents at one point to fund even salaries of teachers through levies. Local education officials declined to comment. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
You're listening to Studio 7, coming to you live from the Voice of America right here in Washington. Coming up, a closer look at peaceful demonstrations and alleged police brutality in Zimbabwe.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
But first, a look at regional and international news. A haunting photograph of a bloodied young boy injured in a devastating airstrike in the Syrian city of Aleppo has captured the attention of people around the world as it circulates through traditional and social media channels. Syrian opposition activists released a photo of a boy looking stunned and exhausted as he sat in an orange chair of an ambulance with his face covered with blood and dust. And people in the southern U.S. state of Louisiana are assessing their losses after a historic flood in the past few days killed at least 11 people and damaged or destroyed more than 40,000 homes. Zimbabweans have been, of late, staging peaceful protests in the country, a move which has resulted in President Mugabe, Army Commander General Constantine Chiwenga, and some state officials warning them that the government will take stern measures against public protesters. Since July 6th, when Zimbabweans staged a massive stay away, the police have been descending heavily over protesters, mostly demanding the resignation of President Mugabe and an address to social and economic problems bedeviling the country. Protesters say their public action is guaranteed by the Zimbabwean constitution, while the government claims that such moves are designed to denigrate the person of the president and dent the image of the country, which is failing to attract meaningful foreign direct investment. Why is the government not keen to see people protesting in the streets? For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached out to Rashid Mahia of Heal Zimbabwe Campaign and Gadzira Chirumanzu, a ZANU-PF activist. Mahia says protesters should not be brutalized by the police.
The role of the police is to provide security for citizens and not to injure citizens who are actually enjoying their democratic rights, express themselves against whatever issues that they are fighting against. So we think it is that serious because it's the role of the state, particularly the police, to ensure that citizens are safe and secure and not to harm them.
Mr. Chirumanzu, it seems as if the police are actually clamping down heavily on, protesters. And we still remember the president warned, protesters against staging some of these kind of peaceful marches. So what is your reaction to what Mr. Mahia is saying?
Well, the constitution of Zimbabwe allows the individuals or groups to demonstrate. But, what is shocking, even the responsible authority, that is in terms of security, the mushrooming of so many organizations that want to protest in the streets. And you now wonder where all these organizations are coming from and who is, pushing this agenda of protesting and who is financing all these people all the way from their residential places into the combis or buses or whatever it is to come and demonstrate in Harare. So at the end of the day, behind the scenes, you could see that there is, a hidden hand trying to push a certain agenda, which at the present moment is not very clear. You will find out that, most people who are running their own, private businesses, they are being disturbed by the so-called demonstration. It's almost like day in, day out, and we have these demonstrations. And the people are disturbed in their movement. People are injured, and the same applies with the police. So at the end of the day, you could quickly say, there is now war between the security forces and these people who are coming up with so many agendas to demonstrate. And if you try to find out exactly what they are really demonstrating,
war between the police and the people,
you will find that there are so many channels of venting their anger through approaching the relevant authorities and also through the court. But at the end of the day, this is not what is taking place.
Yes, let's go to Mr. Mahia. Mr. Mahia, I think you are hearing Mr. Chirumanzu very clearly here. And he talks about a hidden hand. Are you Western sponsored when you are actually conducting these protests?
The hidden hand is very visible. It's a very visible hidden hand. People are angry. The young people are unemployed. The hand is clear. The people of Zimbabwe have no opportunities. The people of Zimbabwe have lost any opportunities to fend for their families. It is a very clear hand. You cannot look for any other reason other than the fact that people are expressing themselves because of the democratic right, because they don't have any other option. And the only hidden hand that we can talk about is they are yearning for freedom, they are yearning for opportunities in their country. Anyone who talks about any other hidden hand does not live in Zimbabwe. If you live in Zimbabwe, you know that the difficulties that people are facing are forcing them to go to town to march and express themselves.
So, Mr. Chirumanzu, it is clear that Zimbabwe has got some problems. There are no jobs. That's very true, factually. There are few jobs that are there. And then when you talk about the economy, it's just tanking. So what Mr. Mahia is saying may be 100% true. What is your reaction to that?
At the end of the day, we know if anyone wants to remove the ruling government or the ruling party, there are ways of doing it in a legal manner. Right? For example, I don't see the space for people to go or to assemble, like what Comrade Mahia is saying, taking into the consideration the economy. Where are the councillors, for instance? This is the first port of call. And then from there, you have the MPs because they'll be representing you. So are we seeing the councillors, they fail, the MPs, they fail? Now, at the end of the day, this is why I am saying there is certainly a hidden agenda of which at the present moment I myself cannot pinpoint who is behind all these things. Because it does not make any sense for thousands of people to be organized and be transported to town. Take into consideration that one does not have a cent to move into this. So at the end of the day, you find that this is a well-organized thing of which I wanted to assume that the relevant authorities, like people in the security sector, will know all the details. And I am sure they are in a position to deal with it.
Right. So can we have your last word, Mr. Mahia?
We want a peaceful Zimbabwe, and citizens only remain peaceful and off the streets when they are in industries and working and they have opportunities. What's taking the youth of Zimbabwe and the ordinary people of Zimbabwe to the streets is because they are desperate. They want to express themselves to the government. And they are doing that legally because the constitution provides so. So the police should not be brutal. The police should make sure that they handle these cases with the concern for the rights of the citizens, because they're expressing their rights legally as is provided for by the constitution.
That was Rashid Mahia of Heal Zimbabwe Campaign. You also heard from Gadzira Chirimanzu, a ZANU-PF activist. Both spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. Hashtag This Flag founder Pastor Evan Mawarire, who spoke at the Atlantic Council in Washington yesterday and also here on Studio 7 Live Talk, says he wants to see Zimbabweans realize the dreams of independence. VOA's Joe DeCapua has more.
Before last April, few people had heard of Reverend Mawarire, but then he made a video draped in the Zimbabwean flag. He criticized corruption and a failing economy. That began the At This Flag movement and led to subsequent protests, strikes, and stayaways. The Zimbabwean government did not take the movement seriously at first, then it did. Mawarire was detained on July 12th and accused of inciting violence, a charge later increased to subversion. However, amid mass protests, charges were withdrawn the following day. Speaking at the Atlantic Council, draped in his flag, he said his life has changed dramatically.
If you had told me 3 months ago that I would have to run from home overnight, if you told me that my family would be accosted in the middle of the night at home, if you told me that my kids would be watched at a school as my wife picked them up, I really would have asked that you have a medical checkup of some sort, because there was no way that I could ever have planned what has happened.
He said it has felt like a crime to feel like Zimbabwe could be better.
I believe that we're standing at the cusp of the opportunity that allows us to see this beautiful nation become exactly what it is supposed to be.
Mawarire said generations of Zimbabweans have not reaped any benefits of independence.
My grandfather went to war against colonialism, and so did my father as a young man. And those two men did not see what they fought for. They gave birth to me, and I haven't seen what they fought for. My children, my 5-year-old and my 3-year-old, have to see the kind of Zimbabwe that my forefathers believed in when they went to liberate our country.
The pastor said the Bible teaches to care for the poor, many of whom sleep on the streets, including a street named after President Mugabe.
Hordes of vendors, of old senior citizens, old women, sleep in that street, not because she doesn't have a home, but she couldn't make 25 cents. She couldn't make 50 cents on her 5-6 tomatoes to be able to go home and come back the next day. So they sleep in Robert Mugabe Street.
Mawarire said Zimbabweans must be at the forefront of change. He added they cannot expect foreign powers, the African Union, or the Southern African Development Community to do it for them.
The reason why I sat there and recorded that video is because I looked at a small flag that sits on the desk in my little office in Harare. But it also dawned on me in that very same moment of frustration as I lamented the fact that my country seemed to have stood in the way of my dreams. It dawned on me that I'm the one that's responsible.
Mawarire's leaving Zimbabwe has upset some who say he has abandoned the movement or that he has refused to accept his role as a leader after calling for protests. A Zimbabwe Herald newspaper article has called him a fraudster who collected money from gullible believers in the United Kingdom through his church, only to evade tax. The Zimbabwe government has said he's supported by Western powers. It's not clear when he might return home, especially, he said, after President Mugabe stated he should leave. Joe DeCapua, VOA News, Washington.
Very briefly on an update in the Olympic Games in Brazil. Brazilian police sources say U.S. Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte and three teammates fabricated a story about being robbed at gunpoint and in fact had damaged a gas station in Rio. Two members of the U.S. swim team were stopped and detained at the Rio de Janeiro International Airport as they tried to travel home yesterday, the U.S. Olympic Committee confirmed. Still in the Olympics, Jamaican runner Usain Bolt is back in action today to defend his unofficial title of fastest man alive as he competes in the 200-meter sprint. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m., where today's hosts of the Women's Roundtable, Marvelous Mthlanga Nyahuye and Praxedes Jeremiah, will be talking with listeners and experts about the impact of peaceful demonstrations in Zimbabwe, as one of the prominent protesters, Linda Masarira, is still locked up taking part in the July protests. What are your views on these issues? Please call and join the conversation on 001-202-619-2077. And also, you can join the conversation on Facebook, which will be streaming live. And that's our show from us this evening. Thank you very much for joining us. Please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungamile Nkomo. I'm Dimiake Mokalielie here in Washington, wishing you a very, very good night.